Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the CollegeToPro.com NFL Draft Blast.
Another edition of the CollegeToPro.com NFL Draft Blast. I am your show host, Bob Marchand. As always, we appreciate you stopping by and joining us as we bring you the next collection of tomorrow's NFL stars. And one of the gentlemen who know more about those NFL stars than anybody is NFL draft guru Justin Van Fulpen. If you're familiar with the show, then you're familiar with what Justin brings to the table. He's directed all-star games. He's helped provide guys paths to the NFL. He's also an NFL agent and an NFL insider. And a very knowledgeable man. You can also check out his stuff at football. I believe it's Football Next Level, Justin?
Yep.
That's why I want to make sure. And the one thing Justin provides is that insight. And I love when he passes it off on Twitter or shoots me any of his links. It's a first read for me. It's one of the absolute musts. Again, and you know, we all love knowing about this guy might be hurt, but if you just kind of want to know more about the intertwined, the inner things that go on behind the scenes of what makes the NFL the NFL, Justin is the man to know. And tonight, he's going to provide his top 32 2021 NFL draft prospects. And again, if you miss any of these episodes, you can check them out at Apple Podcasts, you can check them out at Blog Talk Radio, or you can listen in live here at the 6 p.m. slot with none other than Justin Van Fulpen. Justin, well, happy Thanksgiving to you. And, you know, we haven't touched base in a while, but again, we always appreciate you stopping by. And we were joking around before we went live, as we did a similar show back in May, and it'll be curious. I'm going to have to go back and listen to it myself to find out which guys remain in the top two, which guys dropped out, and which guys are the new faces. But with that said, and I don't think there's going to be much debate on who the preemptive number one is as of today, but nonetheless, it's your show, and why don't you start taking us through these names?
Yeah, I mean, you look at, obviously, number one, Trevor Lawrence, you know, the quarterback there, Clemson. You know, he's been the you know, number one overall pick in this year's draft, you know, for basically, you know, 2.5 years now. You know, and everybody was, you know, looking at this, you know, a generational prospect, you know, to the likes of John Elway, Peyton Manning, Andrew Luck, everyone kind of, you know, when those guys were there, pegged them to be, you know, a NFL superstar. Obviously, you know, Peyton Manning now is up for the Hall of Fame, and many people believe that he'll be a first ballot Hall of Famer, and I don't think there's any debate about that. You know, obviously Elway is a Hall of Famer. Andrew Luck, if he doesn't have some of those injuries, he was trending to be a Hall of Famer. And that's what people expect of Trevor Lawrence, is being a Hall of Fame type quarterback, a once-in-a-generational type guy there. But then, you know, you look at, you know, there is some talk as far as you go to number two on the top 32 board, and that's quarterback Justin Fields. And there is people that I've talked to that think, you know, Justin Fields might end up being the number one overall pick, you know, that, you know, people like his athleticism a little bit more. And again, we're in that standpoint of, you know, kind of you want an athlete, and not that Trevor Lawrence isn't a great athlete, but Justin Fields probably a little better as far as, you know, running the ball and doing kind of some of the things that you see as far as a Lamar Jackson, you know, or Taysom Hill that we saw, you know, with the Saints coming, you know, there. So not to do an athlete level as Lamar Jackson, but many few are. But there are some people that say, hey, do the Jets say, hey, let's roll the dice and, you know, go with Justin Fields? And that's going to be an interesting thing if they stick with the number one overall pick, them or Jacksonville. Obviously, both of those guys, you know, came out of the same high school class. They were 1-2 in the, as far as high school, you know, as far as rankings. When they came out of high school there, they're locked. Obviously, they're both from Georgia. One went to Clemson, one went to Georgia. Obviously, then Fields transfers to Ohio State and is having a Heisman Forest type of season. So is, Trevor Lawrence. So it'll be interesting to see, what definitely happens. But I think, by far and away, those two guys are ahead of the class as far as anybody. Everybody expects them to go one, two, similar to all the quarterbacks we've seen go, in the first round, quarterbacks that's gone, one, two, and there always been debates about those guys. We talked about, Peyton Manning, but, we get the Peyton Manning, Ryan Leaf standpoint there. And we've seen quarterbacks go 1, 2, 3. You had the Tim Couch, Donovan McNabb, and Akili Smith go 1, 2, 3 in that draft. So it's going to be, interesting there, with what happens in terms of the quarterbacks there. And, again, teams are looking for quarterbacks there. So we'll go through the first five and then kick it back to you. The third guy, Penei Sewell, the offensive tackle with Oregon, as far as, again, opted out of this season, a franchise left tackle to the likes of, a Walter Jones, a Orlando Pace, guys there. And if we didn't have these two quarterbacks there, he could definitely be the number one overall pick, in the draft. But Penei Sewell's you look at him and go, hey, he can be as far as a NFL Hall of Famer. And that's where you're trying to draft those guys who are multiple Pro Bowls, multiple All-Pro type guys when you're drafting that high. Four, Micah Parsons, a linebacker out of Penn State. Obviously, Penn State, hasn't won a game this year, and he opted out and didn't play, and he was a driving force of that defense, and they sorely miss him. Again, I think there's a little bit drop-off once you get past the top three guys there in terms of on a rating standpoint. But, Micah Parsons, is to that type of level there. And you're always looking for linebackers not only can do multiple things as far as rush the passer, but also be a guy who can cover, be a sure tackler there. And Micah Parsons should be a Pro Bowl type, linebacker in the NFL. And then number five, Ja'Marr Chase, the wide receiver out of LSU. Again, a guy who opted out with the Biletnikoff Award winner last year. And definitely, somebody who is the number one overall as far as receiver there. So top five, kind of what are your thoughts with those five there, Bo?
I think the big discussion, obviously we're going to talk about Trevor and Justin, the two quarterbacks going off at the top, Justin. And, when I watch this, I don't get enamored with Trevor Lawrence. I mean, that's why I'm asking, what am I missing about Trevor Lawrence? And we'll get to Justin Fields too, because I did not like Dwayne Haskins coming out, and it just goes back to Ohio State in terms of, Terrell Pryor, Braxton, JT Barrett, Braxton Miller, Cardell Jones, Dwayne Haskins. I mean, when I think of schools with just five-star athletes that are just super delicious to watch at the collegiate level, especially offensively, I don't think you're going to find a finer school than Ohio State in terms of just guys that are sickly gifted, and especially when they put these guys at the quarterback position. But we'll get back to Justin and what maybe might make him different for the guys that I've named that have not been able to deliver in the NFL. We've seen Dwayne Haskins after 1 year, Ron Rivera's already said, hey, you know what? We don't see it. We don't see what's happened. And I know David Gettleman of the Giants took a beating for taking Daniel Jones, who I really, really liked. He was my favorite quarterback coming out of, the draft class last year, absent of the big names. But, I thought Daniel Jones was a good fit at number six. And, people said, how did Dwayne Haskins fall? And I asked myself, how did he even go in the first round? But again, what am I missing on Trevor Lawrence? Because it's not that I dislike him, but I just, you watch as much college football as anyone, Justin. When I watch him play, I just don't get that sense like, wow. And we get that from certain guys. And I've missed on guys. It's just not, I got a laundry list of guys that Russell Wilson, I went out of the Senior Bowl. I was not impressed. And now he, every single year we can say, the best quarterback in the National Football League. So I don't want to say that I'm some kind of, guy that doesn't miss on guys, but that's why I'm asking you, what am I missing about Lawrence that makes him so special?
Well, I I think, you know, number one, he's a guy who can make all the throws. I mean, there's not a throw in the NFL that he can't make. Number two, he's a good athlete, you know, and he's been a guy who's been a winner there, you know, obviously, and you could, you know, just like Ohio State, Clemson's littered with offensive skill players there. But I think in terms of you look at he's 6'6", he's tough. You know, he's a guy who, again, can make all the throws, is accurate, you know, accurate not only short, but short to deep there. And I think, you know, when you're looking for that type of a guy, a franchise-type quarterback there, I think he checks all the boxes. Now, the question is you know, and you can see it, okay, he's got that long, beautiful, luscious locks like you do, and maybe that's what's, you know, not giving, you know, you're hating on him because of his hair. I don't know. And again, he's got kind of an aloof personality, you know, he's not that, okay, in your face, you know, rah-rah type guy there, you know, so I can see where, you know, you can look at that, but, you know, and again, you can only go off of what you see, you know, and again, you can't really measure a guy's heart, and that's what usually bites guys in the butt, you know, in terms of whether you underestimated their heart or you overestimated, you know, as far as their heart there in terms of their love and passion for the game. And, you know, is it they love it to compete or do they love it because of what it gives them, whether it's notoriety, money, fame, et cetera there. So I think as far as – I just don't know what not to like about Trevor Lawrence in terms of his game there. Again, like you said, I think there's – hey, you know, there's some aloofness and some, hey, you'd like them to be more of that rah-rah type leader stuff there, but he's been a good leader off the field, obviously, with the social justice movements that he's done, tried to, you know, kind of, you know, galvanize the college football scene there. But I just, you know, that's where I think, okay, hey, if you're, you know, kind of building a quarterback and you want to take all those check marks off, that's the guy you're building.
I like it. And how about Justin? Again, and why don't we get to Justin? What makes Justin, you know, different from the, you know, because again, I'm just hesitant. I always go back and until I see a change in the pattern, you know, I remember back in the day when Spurrier was with the Gators, you could look at Rydell Anthony and Jacquez Green. You know, these guys are just crazy productive at Florida. But then again, they, you know, they go on the NFL careers where they just don't resonate that same, you know, a wow, you know, number one type status. And, you know, I thought they failed. So that's where I kind of look at, you know, Justin Fields at Ohio State. And, you know, I know every prospect's different, but again, I know there are systems and we could, you know, look at Mike Krzyzewski and Duke. You know, there was a long period where, you know, you questioned some of these guys, Cherokee Parks, Bobby Hurley, you know, some of the Christian Slater. I mean, you know, guys that Christian Leitner, I should say, you know, guys that were awesome in the system, but then they get to the NBA, they're really not the guys that we saw at the collegiate level. So what does Justin Fields, you know, what's different about him that these scouts are going to say, wow. And, you know, we saw Haskins slip. And real quick tidbit, Justin, the last nine drafts, previous nine drafts, the ACC is ahead with seven. There's 28 quarterbacks drafted in the first round since 2012. But the ACC is at seven. They lead. But this is the big one. The Big Ten has won one quarterback in the last 9 years drafted in the first round, and that's Haskins. And I'm going to let you take a guess, and you got to go back on this one. He played in a Super Bowl. He lost it, but he was the last quarterback selected in the first round. Can you go back? Think about it.
Kerry Collins, Penn State.
Boom. That is why he is the NFL draft guru, Justin Van Poppel. Nailing Steph Curry deep. With the three, Justin, that was fantastic. I had to go back. I kept looking, and I'm like, am I missing something? And I kept going back, and I was like, wow. And I even wrote it down in my notes. I'm like, Kerry Collins, 1995. So you knew, and you didn't even hesitate, man. You were eager. You went into the huddle. You told Phil Jackson, give me that ball. I'm shooting it. So, I mean, I think right there, you just got to look at the Big Ten. I mean, you know what I mean? Just as quarter, you know, we could say other guys. I mean, Tom Brady, sixth round, bye, you know. But, I mean, but in terms of first-round guys, they kind of get, you know, blindsided, I guess, a little bit, you know, in terms of not getting that recognition. Maybe deserved, maybe not well-deserved. But with all that said, what am I missing on Justin Fields? Or I should say, what does Justin Fields do differently where he cannot follow the same path as the quarterbacks from Ohio State that had a lot of accolades leaving Columbus?
Well, I think in terms of Dwayne Haskins, you know, if you compare those two guys there, you know, Fields is a lot better athlete than Haskins, you know, was. I mean, you know, and I think as far as that mental makeup there, I mean, Dwayne Haskins was charging people to come to his draft party that he had at a bowling alley. I mean, there right there is a red flag there. Like, you're going to charge people to come to your draft party? You know, like, okay, okay. I mean, to me, those are the things that you look at there and, like, you know. And I think in terms of also, if you look at, you know, Fields wasn't a Big Ten recruit. He you know, came from Georgia to you know, then go to the Big Ten country there. So, you know, he's going to be ultimately a Big Ten quarterback as far as drafted. But again, he wasn't initially a Big Ten guy there. So, you know, and I think in terms of, again, his accuracy, you know, he had a rough day against Indiana this past Saturday with throwing three interceptions. But before, you know, that game all of last year and different things, like, he didn't, you know, doesn't turn the ball over there. So, you know, again, big, athletic, strong arm, can make all the throws there, you know, is accurate. And I think that's one thing that people kind of, you know, get miss, you know, there in terms of also accuracy in terms of, okay, Dwayne Haskins, they ran a lot of crossing routes, you know, and okay, you know, he threw it to those, you know, Paris Campbell and let, you know, Paris Campbell run for 60 yards. I think if you look at Justin Fields, his deep ball accuracy, you know, makes him okay. Hey, you know, to that next level there. And I think in terms of, if you look at these two quarterbacks and you put them within, you know, going for the last 3 years, what they would be the number one overall pick, either one of them, whether it have been over Joe Burrow, over Kyler Murray, and over Baker Mayfield. You know, so I think in terms of as far as grading out that high there with those two quarterbacks, I think in terms of, you know, the NFL, you know, they're in good hands with a lot of young, you know, quarterbacks, but we've got a lot of, you know, guys that are going to come in this year's draft that hopefully will pan out and continue this kind of resurgent and golden era for the young quarterbacks there in the NFL.
Excellent. And terrific insight. Once again, Justin Van Fulpoint here on the C2P talking the top 32 NFL draft prospects for 2021. If you miss any of these shows it live and in person, you can check them out at Apple Music, Apple Podcasts, and you can also check them out at Blog Talk Radio. And again, we appreciate you listening, and we once again appreciate Justin stopping by and sharing his insight. You know, you mentioned Micah Parsons, the fantastic Penn State linebacker, and him opting out, and you have him going number 4 overall. So I know that's not going to hurt his, you know, draft stock going number 4 overall, especially if you had a tackle and 2 quarterbacks. But what are you hearing behind the scenes in terms of, you know, scouting departments and how they're going to go about just, you know, missing these guys? As we know, you know, fall grades and, you know, the Bledsoe reports and all this stuff comes out, and there can be a big change in what these guys do from, you know, last year's tape to this year's film that, you know, maybe, you know, really, you know, jettisons them up the boards, or sometimes, you know, they can take a big step backwards. So in terms of guys like himself and all the others that are kind of these elite prospects, what do you think is going to be the process, how teams kind of try to grasp of, you know, not having this film to go on this year and just going what they had previously?
Yeah, I think some guys it's going to hurt. I think if you're not a, you know, top 50 type guy there, you know, it's definitely, you know, should have been beneficial to go and play there. But, you know, again, Micah Parsons, everyone's loved him. And, you know, again, he saved some wear and tear on his body. So that's going to be interesting to see if it, you know, if he lives up to kind of that hype and keeps that type of draft stock where everybody kind of's got him right now there, you know, with a top 10 type pick there.
Excellent. And you mentioned Ja'Marr Chase, and I remember, and we did one of these shows a few years back. Well, it had to be when A.J. Brown, the receiver out of Ole Miss, was heading to the NFL. And this was the year before his draft. But I remember you mentioned A.J. Brown, and you know, kind of acquired as a rookie. But, man, he has really emerged as a premier wide receiver for the Tennessee Titans. So does Ja'Marr Chase, I mean, do you kind of look at him as that same type of guy with that same type of potential?
Yeah, I mean, he can be a true number one, you know, as far as wide receivers. And the thing we've seen in terms of these young receivers, whether it's rookies or second-year guys in terms of – the impact that, you know, can make. And again, we're going to, as far as the NFL's become a passing league, far as most defensives, you know, instead of being base, they're a lot of, as far as nickel, you know, with three wide receiver sets becoming more and more the rage. And again, you've got to have skilled guys. And you if you have a young quarterback to be able to pair, you know, with a Ja'Marr Chase, I mean, you look at, you know, as far as having true number one talents there, you know, again, the quarterbacks who struggle, they don't have really true, you know, far as number one type playmakers. I mean, Sam Darnold, you know, with the Jets, yes, they're going to get the number one overall pick or you know, a top type pick there. But Sam Darnold's never played with an elite type of playmaker there, you know. So, again, you've got to have guys who can make plays for your young quarterback to help them out, even as far as the veteran quarterbacks, whether it's, you know, Matthew Stafford, once they don't have Kenny Galladay, you know, and they've struggled this season. So, again, you've got to have elite playmakers on the outside, and Ja'Marr Chase is obviously one of the elite guys that's going to be draft eligible this year.
Excellent stuff. Now, that was 1 through 5, and we took a little bit of a lengthy time, and I think that's as expected. I mean, one, we had to discuss the first two quarterbacks, I mean, quarterbacks and what make the NFL go, and you're talking about two elite prospects and Lawrence and Fields. So I don't think we'll be as lengthy in terms of going through each one of these, you know, five-section player units. We might get sidetracked, but nonetheless, I think that's going to be the bulk of it just because these guys are the top cream of the crop type prospects. But let's go through 6 through 10, Jess, and who do you have coming up the pike now?
Yeah, we've got two more quarterbacks coming in here. So, you know, Trey Lance, the quarterback out of North Dakota State, obviously played one game there. You know, all the physical tools. Obviously, you know, some people thought, hey, he should go back or should transfer, you know, to a Power 5 type thing there. But, you know, he's going to get drafted, and some people love him. Some people don't like him as much there. I think you've got to bet on those traits, bet on, you know, hey, didn't throw an interception, you know, as a redshirt freshman last year and led them to a national title there. 7, Patrick Surtain, the cornerback out of Alabama. Obviously, his dad played in the NFL, a long athletic corner. And if you, like we talked about in terms of the receivers, a passing league, you need elite shutdown type corners there. He can be, he's the best. He's probably better than even Jeff Okuda, who was the 3rd overall pick last year. Kyle Pitts, the tight end from Florida. He's just a beast in terms of, you know, matchup nightmare. Early in the season, a lot of people, you know, he was making a run from the Heisman. You know, and you see that at a tight end position. That's just crazy in terms of how good he was. Unfortunately, he's had some concussion issues and missed the last couple of games there. But he is a matchup nightmare. We've seen in terms of what Travis Kelce's, you know, what he's done for Kansas City's offense, what, you know, George Kittle in terms of what he's been able to do and help leading San Francisco last year to the Super Bowl, and without him being healthy this season, how that's been an impact there. So, and he's a playmaker on the outside there. Devontae Smith, the wide receiver at Alabama at 9, obviously just overtook Amari Cooper this past Saturday for the touchdown lead there in the SEC. Just an elite guy. A lot of people compare him to a Marvin Harrison type player who was a Hall of Famer, you know, and helped Peyton Manning and them win a Super Bowl there. And Marvin Harrison, in terms of just on a pure great route runner, has excellent speed there. Again, a true for his number one wide receiver. And then at 10, the one guy I know we didn't talk about in the show in May in terms of the way too early top 32 is Zach Wilson, the quarterback out of BYU, a guy who's just made a, you know, rocket launch in here. And again, he's a quarterback, and the NFL just, you know, there's a number of teams that need quarterbacks. And like you had mentioned, Washington, you know, is going to move on from a Dwayne Haskins. They've seen, okay, hey, we made an error. We've got to do that. The Jets are probably going to move on from a Sam Darnold. You know, what does Atlanta do, you know, for us with Matt Ryan? What does the Lions do with the Matthew Stafford? You know, as far as Jacksonville, we know is going to, as far as quarterbacks. So there's just a number of quarterbacks. You look at Tampa Bay, obviously they're going to be picking later in the thing, but Tom Brady's not going to play until he's 50, you know, most likely. So they're going to have to draft a successor there. So in terms of, there's just a number of teams in terms of that need quarterbacks, and Zach Wilson's a guy who, you know, there, and I could see in terms of Trey Lance, I mean, we could see quarterbacks potentially going, depending on what teams and how the far as shake out, we might see a quarterbacks go 1, 2, 3, 4, you know, just in terms of that's how much people like these other two quarterbacks there in this year's draft class.
I love it. And think about this. I mean, assuming that Lance and Fields go both in the first round next year, we can say in the last decade, there's been two quarterbacks drafted out of the Big Ten, and there's two quarterbacks out of the Mahoning Valley football conference drafted in the first round as well. So that's kind of a crazy mindset to think that the Mahoning Valley football conference has as many first-round quarterbacks as the Big Ten, perceived as one of the best conferences in football, right there below the SEC. Depending on where you live, there's a lot of controversy, a lot of pride with all these schools and what they bring to the table. And, you know, I'm glad you brought up Zach Wilson as well. It just seems like every year, I mean, you could kind of look at Cam Newton, back to Carson Palmer, Baker Mayfield. You know, there's always those guys who kind of really start to rise, the cream, you know, they rise to the top as the season goes on. You know, they're on the outside looking in, you know, Blesser reports, spring, you know that they're a good quarterback. That senior year, though, just everything kind of falls in place and they just skyrocket up the charts. And, you know, it just seems like once that happens, you know, RG3 with, you know, Andrew Luck. I mean, Andrew Luck was the, you know, bona fide number one pick forever. And then who is this guy out of Baylor? And he, you know, and at that point, you know, it's easy to look back now and say, what? But, you know, at that point, there was a lot of people who were saying, hey, you know what? We're going to take RG3 over Luck. I mean, you know, there's a lot of controversy, and that's like every year. But I think Zach Wilson is that guy this year, that guy that was kind of not on the radar. When we spoke back in March or back in May with the top 32, like you said, he wasn't a guy. But, you know, what this college season has brought Zach Wilson to life, and that's why we're talking about him. Once again, Justin Van Fulpen, Football Next Level. Check out his stuff. You can also follow him on Twitter at JVFulpen. He just has no Justin. It's J, his last name, Van Fulpen. And then you can also listen to this podcast, Apple Music, Blog Talk Radio. Justin, we've gone 1 through 10. Why don't you take us through 11 through 15?
11, wide receiver out of Alabama, another one, Jalen Waddle, obviously. You know, with having an electric year, not only as a wide receiver, but also as a returner, you know, and again, had a broken ankle, you know, good news. He's got the cast up. There's some potential. He might be able to, you know, come back and play, you know, in a playoff game or a championship game there. If Alabama would get to either one of those, which most likely they will. And then you go 12, Sam Cosby, the offensive tackle at Texas. You know, just, again, a starting left tackle in the, you know, the NFL. Again, a great pass protector, good run blocker. Again, with the NFL being what it is in terms of a passing league, you need the guys to be able to, block and protect your franchise quarterback, and he is right up there. Another big corner, you know, comes in at number 13, Caleb Farley, the cornerback out of Virginia Tech, obviously opted out, didn't play this season. But again, he's a long, athletic corner, and you got to have those guys to, you know, match up with the guys like Jamar Chase and they're on the outside, and he can definitely do that. 14, Jeremiah Owusu-Kamara, the linebacker out of Notre Dame. If you just put up one tape there, put on the Clemson tape, look at what he did against Clemson in terms of being all over the field, not only as a run defender, a pass rusher, but also as a guy who can get there and cover wide receivers and cover the elite type of wide receivers that Clemson has. He was the reason there on defense why they're so good and why they are, you know, contending for a playoff spot and why they beat, you know, for his Clemson without Trevor Lawrence. But again, that the quarterback DJ, and I will not attempt to say his last name, but DJ is a guy who's, you know, we're going to talk about in 2 years being potentially the number one overall pick there. So again, put on that tape if you want to see as far as what that Notre Dame linebacker can do and why he is a top 15 prospect. And then number 15, defensive end Quiddy Pay out of Michigan. He's been out the last couple of weeks. Obviously, Michigan's had a disappointing season, but he's a top prospect. And we talk about, as far as edge rushers, guys who can get to the quarterback there, he's probably, you know, if not the best kind of guy there. And we don't have an elite guy. We don't have a Miles-type Garrett there. But I think Quiddy Pay, on a lot of people's radar, is, you know, that number one type of edge guy there right now. And Quiddy Pay, again, a guy to keep your eye on, kind of rising up as far as draft boards with NFL teams. They like to see what he can do, again, as an edge guy to go get that quarterback. And that's 11 through 15.
Fantastic stuff. And, you know, I think Jeremiah Owusu-Kamara, I saw him play live at Pitt, and, he's so active. I thought he moved so well. I mean, I'm looking at my notes right now. You know, I put tweener size, safety, linebacker, thick frame, but active, moves well, shows lateral sideline range, looks comfortable dropping in the coverage, and eager to attack the run. Good knack for not getting tied up when being blocked, and the list goes on. Again, it was just a lot of positive things. And like I said, he could be one of these guys down at the Senior Bowl. Hopefully, if that Senior Bowl gets underway, and we'll talk about a little bit about these All-Star games as well as we go through the show. But I'm very, very pleased with the way that Notre Dame linebacker looked. And like you said, he's been a big factor on why, you know, they're in contention for the college football playoffs. And then again, Pay, Michigan, we know that's not the year. I'd be reluctant not to ask, you're a Michigan man. Well, at least you live in the state of Michigan. I don't know if you're a Wolverine fan, Justin, but nonetheless, do you think Harbaugh stays in Michigan? And if not, when did he pull the trigger?
Well, I think in terms of, you know, it's either you kind of got to go long term to him, or you got to fire him this year because he only has 1 year left on his deal. Talks of an extension there before kind of the pandemic hit there, and they were working on that. But again, I think, you know, many Michigan fans and people here in the state want to kind of see the team go in another direction there. And I think with the losses that they've had, and most likely, obviously, they've got a big game against Ohio State at the end of the season. And unless they can pull that win off, I think Jim Harbaugh probably is, you know, will kind of go his separate ways there with the university, and they'll look on to move on to see what they can do, because you've got to be able to beat Michigan, Michigan State, Ohio State, and be a contender for what you're paying Jim Harbaugh for. And he just hasn't done that, you know, since he's been here with the University of Michigan.
Yeah, it's going to be a unique thing. Like I said, yeah, I mean, you thought maybe things would be turned around, at least be a little bit more competitive, especially in those big games. Justin, well, so we're on through 16 through 20, and as we go down the list, I like this year. I mean, one thing I'm looking at, I have the list up because you sent it to me earlier, and I don't want to give too many things away, but I know there's one guy in particular that we're going to talk about, and he'll be on the next group of players, but there are not a lot of LSU Tigers like we saw last year.
Yeah, and definitely there's not, but you know we'll get here some here at the end of this grouping here. But as far as 16, again, another guy we didn't talk about in that as far as way too early is offensive tackle out of Virginia Tech, Christian Darsaw. Again, he has just risen up as far as draft boards, risen up as far as prospects rankings. You know, started as a mid type second rounder, and that's just moving itself up there as a starting, you know, left tackle in the NFL. Again, you can't have too many good offensive linemen to protect those franchise quarterbacks. He's a guy who's good in both the run and the pass as far as game in terms of blocking, a good feet, good pass set, you know, just a guy, solid guy there. Then you go to 17, a guy, again, who hasn't played this season because he opted out, Greg Rosima, from the Miami Hurricanes. Again, a lot of people like him as their number one overall kind of defensive end. I thought Quiddy Pay is a little bit better, but they're kind of right in that same type of mix there. Chris Olave, the wide receiver out of Ohio State. Again, we talked about Justin Fields, but Chris Olave is right there in terms of one of the most important, you know, players there for the Ohio State Buckeyes. Again, an elite-type wide receiver, number one-type skill set there. We're seeing more and more receivers be able to come in and contribute and be impact players early, and that before you didn't have, you know, they took receivers, maybe took a little bit longer to develop in terms of route running, but this is a guy who's a great route runner, speed, athletic, smooth, just a guy who, you know, you want as a number one or number two wide receiver on your team. again, another Penn State guy here. And again, they've had a rough season. He's didn't play last week and is now opted out again for the season. Pat Freiermuth, again, they call him kind of Baby Gronk. Again, a physical guy. He's definitely different than what Kyle Pitts is in terms of as far as an athlete, but he's definitely more of a better blocker, more like dominant there at the point of attack, a physical guy. And then 20, as far as Terrence Marshall, the wide receiver at LSU. Again, both Marshall and Ja'Marr Chase really helped Joe Burrow and the LSU Tigers win a national title last year. And as far as people really have liked what Terrence Marshall has done this year, again, it didn't start as high as he is right now, and he is an ascending player. And again, LSU has had a disappointing season for their standards. But Terrence Marshall is, as far as, again, Ja'Marr Chase not playing, it's given Terrence Marshall some more play time and helped him move from probably a mid-second round pick to potentially a mid-first round pick.
Excellent stuff. I love those guys. And, you know, this is where I think some of those guys, like, you know, you talk about Freiermuth from Penn State. I mean, like you said, that Gronk, Baby Gronk type persona about him. And, you know, I like Mike Krzyzewski, you know, I was watching him come out with the Nittany Lions. Great group from 16 to 20. I like that group. I think it's, you know, we're starting getting a little bit later in the draft, but I still think that there's a lot of value that resonates out of those names you mentioned. And then we finally get that LSU Tiger and Marshall. Let's move on 20 to 25, Justin.
21, you talk Sean Wade.
I mean, 21,
Sean Wade, the corner out of Ohio State, again, opted to come back, had opted out because obviously the COVID stuff came back. Many people had him very high, being a top 10 pick and really, could probably compete with Patrick Surtain. He has disappointed. He's a guy who his stock has slid. We've seen him in terms of gotten beat, repeatedly this season. Indiana took advantage of him. You know, he did have that pick six for a touchdown. But he played in the slot, and he obviously had two first-round corners that was in last year's draft, and Arnett and Okuda that got drafted there, and he was a slot guy. He's, basically wanted to play outside to help his draft stock, and it hasn't worked out as well for him. But he's a guy who, again, they'll play high-level competition, coming down most likely being in the playoffs, so he'll have a chance to move back up. You look at another guy again. We talked about opt-outs. Did they come back? Did they not? Rashawn Slater, the offensive lineman there at a Northwestern, as far as a guard center type guy there, a first interior offensive lineman. And again, there's going to be a run here of interior offensive linemen that we're going to talk about. I think they're all in the similar type vein there and similar type group there. Slater, we haven't seen this season. Again, he's training for the NFL Combine. He was a guy who preseason, as far as the NFL scouts, the NFL grades that they had on him were super high, and you kind of just have to say, okay, hey, we can't say he's not as good as what they graded out him before the season, so you just kind of stick him where he kind of is there because we don't have any new film to evaluate there. Wyatt Davis, the guard of Ohio State, again, another guy who opted out and then came back to Ohio State, again, elite interior offensive lineman. Again, a guy who can not only as far as in the run game, but in the pass game as well. Trey Smith, the offensive line there at Tennessee. Again, this was a guy who was a highly recruited high school prospect, the number one overall high school prospect in his class there. And again, a top offensive line prospect for the next level. And again, like I said, we've got kind of those three guys there, those interior guys, Slater, Davis, Smith, all in the same type of grade there. It's kind of a what's your flavor? Do you like vanilla, chocolate, or strawberry? Huh. I think that's where you can't go wrong with either. And it's just, hey, which do you prefer there? And as far as 25, you got Carlos Boogie Basham, the defensive end from Wake Forest. Again, a guy who many people thought would have declared last year, came back and is a guy who's still a dominant edge guy. And again, you could see in terms of him move up based on needs of pass rushers. And again, potentially get drafted higher than 25, depending on what teams have those selections.
Definitely. And, you know, and I'm glad you brought up Wade. He is a guy that slipped a little bit, but kind of just like Justin Fields, where I'm hesitant when I look at these Ohio State Buckeye quarterbacks. That's the other position for Ohio State that I would always feel comfortable, kind of like any secondary guy from the LSU Tigers. I'm going to always just give them the benefit of the doubt in terms of, you know, past history and production. I mean, Nate Clements, Chris Gamble, Malcolm Jenkins, Eli Apple, Marshawn Lattimore. I mean, Jeff Okuda, Damon Arnett this past year. You know, I mean, the list goes on. I mean, a lot of talented guys have been able to come out of Columbus and be productive. So, you know, when I look at Wade, I know, and I agree with you, he has had his moments and he's not lived up to that, you know, pedestal where he entered this season. But nonetheless, I just like the DNA and what they do in Columbus to get these guys ready for that next level. And again, and you know, those guards that you mentioned, I kind of look at those guys as just like this pass draft. And we saw in 2020, you know, all the offensive linemen, you could have, you know, you like Andrew Thomas, I'm like Mike DeBecton. I mean, you know, it was really a mosh posh of different guys at the offensive line position. And it was kind of funny even watching that draft unfold on Thursday night when we saw these first round guys going off the boards. You really couldn't pinpoint what team liked which guy until they actually heard their name called. And I think the same thing about the guards that you mentioned. I think at this point, absent of, you know, the process that lies ahead for all these young men, that, you know, it's going to be a, unless someone distinguishes himself and separates, you know, from a large amount of, you know, ability, it's going to be on the eye of the beholder, which one of those guys goes ahead of the next. With that said, we're almost near the end. Why don't we go 26 through what, 29, and then we'll do the last three. How's that? Fair?
Okay. 26 through 39. So then you've got a 26, you've got the linebacker, kind of, again, another edge pass rusher from Texas, Joseph Osea. As far as a guy, again, you look at his wingspan and just, you know, arms for days. And, again, that's what you need in terms of on a pass rusher guy. Again, an edge. You need somebody to be able to be an athlete guy in a 3-4 type defense to get there. We've seen as far as what the Pittsburgh Steelers have done with their edges, with T.J. Watt and Bud Dupree, in terms of being, you know, the most dominant team in the NFL. It's because as far as that edge pass rusher, and he gives you that. And then you go to a corner that's opted out. Again, another family member in the NFL bloodlines, J.C. Horn, son of Joe Horn, the fame of putting the cell phone underneath the, as far as the goalpost stanchion there, you know, and dialing up there and being a very good wide receiver. His son really helped himself this year. And again, I think maybe, you know, obviously the success or lack of success that South Carolina have, obviously they fired Will Muschamp, you know, opted out and headed there. And then you go to another safety. As far as our first safety on the board, probably the number one overall safety in this year's class is Trayvon Mohring from TCU. Again, a long, athletic guy who's going to hit you, a physical guy, something you're looking for there. And I think in terms of safety position, there's value you've seen in terms of what they can do and you know, in the past drafts, you know, as far as be productive players there. They're, you know, you don't see them go as high normally as other positions, and but they're still valuable in as far as there. And then 29. Nope, that's where we're going to go there. As far as those that there, and then we're going to finish these next four here. So those are the 26 through 28 there.
Yeah, and then going back to NFL DNA. I mean, you talked about Joe Horn and his son being a DB at South Carolina. I am one of those things. I mean, you know what it is, you know, and it's like anything. It's an eye beholder. I mean, I love when these guys kind of grow up with that NFL DNA and that athleticism. And I just think, you know, that knowledge can be a little bit deeper than maybe other prospects that we see across the board. And again, you know, the one thing overall, Justin, I mean, in terms of defensive back, you know, I think we have, you know, Patrick Surtain going number 7. I mean, that's the highest, and we know those guys can go pretty darn high. I mean, especially the elite guys. We have Caleb Farley going 13. Where do you rank this draft class in terms of just DBs overall? Because I know we don't have any more from what the list I see ahead of me. But in terms, I think we got Horn, we got Wade, I think we got 4, Farley and
Surtain, yeah.
And Surtain. So we got, I think we got 4, or you got 4 listed right now in the top 32, which I think is a little bit lighter than what we've seen in years past. So it's Is it fair to say that maybe just top heavy, this class doesn't have the elite guys?
Yeah, I think that's the case there. I think in terms of right now, got a handful of guys there, but in terms of the depth, far as at the cornerback position, it's a little bit lacking than years in the past there. So the two Georgia guys could be there. I don't think they get pushed up to the first round. You look at Kelvin Joseph for the Kentucky, who's an LSU transfer. He's a guy who people like because of his physical size and different things like that. But I think that's the thing, is the NFL right now is looking for those 6-foot-plus type corners, and college football is not giving that. Those guys have gone to play wide receiver, and you're seeing, smaller corners. And so when teams say, okay, hey, we're looking for an elite guy, they're looking for a lot more measurables, looking for guys that are long and they want to be able to put outside and to be able to match up with these elite receivers that we see, the Michael Thomases of the world. Because Michael Thomas is not a necessarily speed burner, but he's a physical, far as receiver. We've seen Julio Jones, AJ Green, going back to Terrell Owens, far as you've got to be able to jam up, and you've got to be a special athlete to be at, play at the next level there. But they also want these guys to be big and physical too. So it's just becoming more and more hard to define as far as what the NFL is looking for there at that elite cornerback position there. And none did it better than the true only real shutdown corner in Deion Sanders. And we haven't seen a Deion Sanders, a Sean Springs, a Charles Woodson, in a while. And I still don't think we've got them.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. And then the final three, Justin, give us the final three on the top 32 Justin Van Fulpen Big Board for 2021.
Well, I shorted you one in our last thing, so I'll start with 29. Azzie Alugia, maybe I just didn't want to say his name and just murder it there, but the defensive end from Georgia. A lot of people, obviously, Leonard Floyd was a high draft pick out of Georgia as a pass rusher. With Chicago, didn't pan out there. Obviously, he signed with the Rams and has had a kind of a rebirth of his career there. But as far as, again, we're always going to be looking for edge guys, as far as to rush the passer there. And he's one of the better ones. He's a guy not a lot of people are talking about, but definitely is a first-round type guy. And then, we've got another two receivers coming up. Rondell Moore, the wide receiver out of Purdue, got his first game action last week and was dominant. What we saw as a true freshman when he played, didn't play a ton last year because of injuries. But this guy is, far as an elite level receiver, slot guy, do it all there. And then Rashad Bateman, the wide receiver out of Minnesota, who, again, had opted out, came back, and then today opted out again. And, again, I think in terms of he just wasn't having the season that many people thought he would. Minnesota in general hasn't had the season that they had. I mean, people had them ranked in the top 25, and then they lose to Michigan, and everybody thought, oh, here's Michigan's back and stuff like that. But now we realize that Minnesota just isn't any good because Michigan's horrible too. So he opts out, and then the final in the 32 is, again, a guy who we didn't talk about last year or this early part of the year in terms of the top 32 is Mac Jones, the quarterback out of Alabama. And last year we saw Joe Burrow go from kind of a no-name prospect to the number one overall pick because of the elite-level wide receivers and the success that he had at LSU there in the SEC. And that's what we're seeing as far as Mac Jones. And as far as a lot of people like him, a lot of people like him higher than the 32 overall pick there in this year's draft. He's a guy, again, who's rising up draft boards, who's having a lead thing. And, again, if we look at the teams, that need as far as quarterbacks, again, I had sent you that too. I mean, you could look from the Jets, the Jags, the Falcons, the Washington football team, the Giants, the Panthers, the 49ers, the Patriots, the Lions, the Broncos, the Bears, the Bucks, the Saints, if they don't find Taysom Hill. The Steelers, depending on what they've got to replace Ben Roethlisberger at some time. So there's a ton of teams that need quarterbacks, and there's more demand than there is supply there. Again, we'll see Sam Darnold probably get traded and, you know, get another opportunity. Maybe Haskins does the same thing. If the Giants want to move on from Daniel Jones, someone will do that. But it's kind of the new flavor of the month, and you got to continue to draft quarterbacks until you find your true franchise quarterback. And I think sometimes teams don't do that because they've gotten burned, so they don't want it. They want to go away from that. But in this league today, you've got to have a quarterback. You look at all these teams that are at the top of the NFL and, you know, fighting for playoff positions, and there are elite quarterbacks playing there. And the teams that aren't playing so well, whether it's the Jets, the Jaguars, the Washington football team, they don't have a franchise quarterback. So until you have one of those, you got to keep drafting them and be able to hopefully you find one of those.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. And I know you're an NFL agent as well. So this is, you know, but, you know, I think in terms of the rookie, you know, wage scales and get, you know, we saw with the Arizona Cardinals, you know, they moved up to take Josh Rosen. They didn't feel comfortable with him. They got the first pick and they're like, you know what? We're going to move this guy and take Kyler Murray. And, you know, back in the day, you know, as well as anybody, when these guys were getting those big, you know, Sam Bradford type contracts, I mean, these teams were stuck to these guys just in terms of the length of the contract and the money that they had to invest in them. Now we can see teams maneuver and say, you know what? We can wipe the slate clean. They're still young enough for another team, like you mentioned, Daniel Jones, Sam Darnold, where teams might still, hey, you know what? We saw with Josh Rosen. Miami said, you know what? We'll take a shot with these guys. So, you know, there's still some interest from other teams that might have coveted these guys coming out of college. Maybe they think they can resurrect their careers. And then on the flip side, teams still have the opportunity not to be hog-tied, if you will, and they can just move forward with their franchise and not feel that strain or that you know, that stranglehold or that big financial burden that we've seen in years past. And we see it not only within the quarterback position. All right, Justin, you've fantastic show. I hope our listeners appreciate what you're able to do as we kick off the holiday season. But I'm curious, one guy on your list, and you could even say it was Ja'Marr Chase. He might slot the number three. What guy amongst those 32 do you feel has the biggest opportunity to really even jump higher up the board? And which is one of those guys, when we do another 32 show, you might not say he's on the board?
Well, I think in terms of, we talked about in terms of not on the board, I think Sean Wade, you know, he's got to continue to play, but he might, you know, his play might slide him down to the second round there. And a guy, again, I think in terms of those quarterbacks, you know, the Mac Jones is a guy who potentially could really rise up there. I think you could see far as Rondale Moore, far as, you know, kind of, you know, move up, maybe even a Terrence Marshall move up, you know, so I think some of those guys have those opportunities, especially guys that are playing right now in terms of, you know, it's better to, again, to play well, help your draft grade than to far as kind of not play and just kind of be stuck at where you're at there. So, again, you know, one guy who I love, and, you know, and I think it's a position that, you know, there is Kyle Pitts. I mean, just a guy who, if you watch and put any tape on against anybody, he's a mismatch for his nightmare. And, you know, to me, he's the best for his true type receiver in this draft. And maybe he, you know, we don't see tight ends go in the top 10 very often. Obviously, we saw the Lions draft TJ Hawkinson. They drafted Eric Ebron. We saw Vernon Davis go, and not necessarily those guys have made it. It's been more far as obviously the guys who are elite now, Travis Kelce and George Kittle, were, you know, far as later mid-round type draft picks. But, I, you know, Kyle Pitts, is, I think, is a special guy and a guy who, you know, just can kind of help anybody's franchise there and really be an elite playmaker at the next level.
Excellent, excellent stuff. And Justin, you know, let's touch base on it. We got about 5 minutes left. I don't know how long we'll go on it, but I know you're the one that, you know, that broke it on Twitter, you know, about the East-West Shrine Bowl cancellation and then not soon to follow. It was the NFLPA game. As of now, the Senior Bowl remains on course to be played. But, you know, what's going to happen with all these young men that, you know, we know collegiate all-star games, they're, you know, it's coveted for the players. Agents love getting these kids in the game because it's their first time that they can, you know, sit down with a scout, shake hands, and look each other in the eyes, and they get to explain themselves to these, you know, potential hirees. You know, what's going to be the opportunities, do you think, that are going to exist for the guys that would have been out in Los Angeles at the NFLPA or down in St. Pete's at the Shrine Game, since they're not going to have these chances?
Well, number one, they're, as far as not going to be in St. Pete, so you're not going to be in St. Pete, so they don't get to be on your show or as far as interact with you. So that's, you know, again, a one big negative there. You know, as far as so, but besides that, I think it goes down to those opportunities for those small schools or those non-Power 5 guys, or, you know, guys who, you know, didn't have a great year, to really rise their stock. And whether it was when we were doing the Texas First Nation game and you were there and helping out and part of that, or when we've been down to the Senior Bowl or the East-West Shrine Game, you always see guys help their stock rise. You know, you saw with Eric Fisher, you know, and I go back to this all the time with guys talking about All-Star games. And Eric Fisher, again, was a guy who was a top set, you know, far as top second-round pick, maybe late first-round pick, maybe, you know, maybe some teams had him in the 20s, but nobody had him as the number one overall pick. He's from Central Michigan, a MAC school. Huh. So, again, a non-Power 5 school, goes down to the Senior Bowl and balls out, plays well, shows all the scouts he's an elite guy, an elite left tackle, as the number one overall pick and still in the league. And, you know, in terms of that draft class, you know, Luke, you know, for Jokel was the second pick and a tackle from a Texas A&M. He's not in the league anymore. But, you know, Fisher is, and Fisher probably gets a third contract there in the league. And if he doesn't go to the Senior Bowl, he's not the number one overall pick there. And we've seen guys who, you know, whatever game that it was, obviously not the Senior Bowl, but maybe an NFLPA game, a Texas First Nation game, when that game was going on there, for as the College Gridiron Showcase, a Hula Bowl, whatever, that go and play well, and they get their opportunity because of those All-Star games. So I feel bad for all the young men, all those guys who are hopefuls there, because that is a huge opportunity. Again, these 32 guys that we talked about, if they go to an All-Star game, great. If they don't, it's no big deal. But the guys who we are not talking about, the seventh round, the PFAs, you know, the guys who aren't even, you know, priority free agents, those guys are who hurt.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, guys – and not to toot my own horn, but my favorite player down at the Shrine Game last year was Kevin Dotson. He ends up going to the fourth round to the Steelers. And, you know, who knows if that Shrine Game helped him that much. But nonetheless, I mean, you know, I was down there. I was, you know, on the side talking with the Steeler guys. And, you know, they never mentioned Kevin Dotson. But like you said, it's just certain guys, you know, you have that moment to kind of compete against the best and come out of, you know, Louisiana Tech. You know, he's not one of these, you know, guys from these predominant schools. But nonetheless, it is. It's a little bit disappointing. It's, you know, I hope there's some sort of creation where these guys are somehow allowed an opportunity to kind of perform, and maybe something happens from now to the time that the draft rolls around. Maybe there'll be something. You know, if people like to make money, Justin, maybe there'll be some other games or some other things that pop up. You know, maybe, geez, I mean, you're talking maybe even after the fact, maybe even after the combine, maybe somebody will try to put a game together to allow these guys. And, you know, the guys that are hungry to perform and increase that stock will definitely show up. Justin, we're almost out of time, but hey, man, before we go, I got to ask one more question. It's not related to football, but it's related to family. How is your brother, my main man, Jared, doing?
Yeah, he's good. He is. He's doing good. You know, he's a dad. He's about to be a dad again. Him and his wife are about to have their second child here in January. So he's a good guy. He's doing well, and I look forward to seeing him tomorrow. So, you know, he's just waiting for the Lions to fire Matt Patricia and Bob Quinn. You know, those are the texts I get on a daily basis. Why they should, or hey, could the Lions, you know, make the playoffs, or, you know, if they dig, would they keep Bob and Matt around there? So we'll see. Again, they play the Texans tomorrow. Obviously, it's a holiday Thanksgiving tradition with the Lions and the Cowboys play, and it wouldn't be Thanksgiving. People wouldn't realize it was Thanksgiving if those two teams definitely weren't on their TV while people were enjoying, as far as their family and food there on Thanksgiving. But again, we hope everyone stays safe and over, you know, everybody for with what's going on with the pandemic, and remain as far as safe and healthy.
Definitely, and I agree 100%. And real quick, Justin, in case my wife listens into this episode, the Shrine game may still be possible. So I might just go down to the trade window. I might just go down to the Trade Winds Hotel in January just to recoup for a couple of days on the beach. So we'll just put that on the back burner. So even it is canceled, but there could be a late change of heart where they put the game on and I can find myself down at the Trade Winds in January and out of the cold Ohio weather. Justin, we love you. I love you. You're one of the best. And you pulling out the Kerry Collins 1995 in an instant just proves how knowledgeable and how respected you are in this business. Hey, man, tell your brother hello. God bless you and the family. Have a happy Thanksgiving, and we appreciate you stopping by.
Thanks so much, Bo. We'll talk to you soon, brother.
Once again, that is Justin Van Fulpen, the Football Next Level NFL agent, NFL insider, NFL draft guru, joining us here. As always, we appreciate you stopping by and joining us here on the C2P.
This has been a C2P exclusive.